and welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, March 23rd, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll learn about this season's communicable diseases with the Juno Public Health Center's Christina Schulte. Stu Robarts will be here with details about the upcoming boating safety classes and Coast Guard auxiliary vessel safety checks. And Maud Morris will be here to highlight tonight's class for homebuyers. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribes in Alaska's Yukon-Kuskokwim region are considering a new regional tribal government. Leaders gave a proposal to tribal councils and set a deadline of 30 days for a vote. If successful, it would then go before individual voters. KYUK's Ben Matheson has more.
Once a packet of information goes out to tribal councils, the clock starts ticking on a 30-day period in which leaders want the tribes to vote on whether to put a vote to the people on creating a new tribal government or reforming the nonprofit, the Association of Village Council Presidents, or AVCP. The convention grew out of the regional committee, which was formed by the Chilista Board in late 2013. Chilista is the corporation formed under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act on behalf of Alaska Native people in the YK Delta region. For Nastasha Levi of Lower Kalskag, it was all moving too quickly. She said a lot of people don't understand what's being proposed. Her tribe has passed a resolution opposing a new tribal government.
This is kind of like missing lots of steps. You know, we're overstepping lots of many steps that we should be doing before we go jump into a regional tribal government.
Robert Porter is the former president of the Seneca Nation in New York and a tribal law expert who fielded the bulk of the questions at the convention. He emphasized that a government structure elevates tribal leaders when they work to effect change.
And it puts you on par with the state and federal governments in terms of your ability to engage with government-to-government dialogue. It gives you new arguments, new powers to be able to say on behalf of the people, the region, the resources, you know, we're the government here, and it's the government policy about how we're going to move forward, say, to protect subsistence.
The scope of a new tribal government is still nebulous, and the path to federal recognition is as uncertain. A discussion draft 12-page constitution lays out a regional tribal government complete with three branches of government, power for law enforcement, and fish and game management. Chilista says the steering committee will compile information to send out to tribes prior to their vote. No future meeting dates are set. For National Native News, I'm Ben Matheson in Bethel, Alaska.
In honor of Women's History Month, the South Dakota National Guard is hosting a traveling exhibit of women's military uniforms from several branches and time periods. Here's Jim Kent, who spoke with the first female command chief warrant officer for the state of South Dakota.
Darla Crown is due to retire in May, having spent 42 years in the South Dakota Army National Guard.
Having grown up on a farm, ranch out in the Badlands, being one of four daughters, my parents couldn't afford, of course, to send me to college, and I saw an opportunity in the military to get an education.
Crown enlisted upon graduation from high school in 1973 and never looked back, serving in both full-time and part-time status over the years. Among other pros, she's enjoyed the chance to learn new skills, meet new people, and to travel. Crown also appreciates the equal opportunities the military offers to women.
Because gender doesn't enter into our salary, our pay is based on our time and grade and number of years in service, and our benefits are equal when it comes to our educational benefits and our medical benefits.
Those equal opportunities have been especially helpful, says Darla Crown, to Native American women, whose history of service dates back to the American Revolution. Tens of thousands of Native American women have served in the U.S. military over the last century, including such well-known names as Lakota Flyer Millie Retrote and Hopi soldier Lori Paestiwa. Command Chief Warrant Officer Crown says choosing a career in the military can bring a lifetime of opportunities to women of all races. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Support by First Nations Development Institute, empowering Native children and families through community giving.
All the donations made on nativegiving.org go toward the organization you choose.
Information is at nativegiving.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And you're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, March 23rd, 2015. It's about 6 minutes after the hour on this Spring Membership Drive edition of Juno Afternoon. If you are listening and you appreciate Juno Afternoon and you're not a member yet, please call 586-3636 and talk to Kristen Cox. She's here on behalf of the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. 586-3636 or go to ktoo.org. And joining me now in the studio is Christina Schulte. She's a public health nurse over at the Juno Public Health Center. Welcome, Christina.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in out of the beautiful sunshine. So this has been a doozy of a season, huh, as far as communicable diseases go, eh?
Yeah, we've definitely seen an increase in reports of strep throat, mono, and GI illnesses going through the community and especially through the schools lately.
Okay, let's talk about that in just a second, but why don't you tell us a little bit about the Juno Public Health Center, where it is, and what you do there?
Yeah, so I'm a public health nurse at Juno Public Health Center. We're located right across from Twin Lakes Park, and we do immunizations for children and adults. We do TB testing and treatment, as well as sexually transmitted infection treatment as well.
Okay, so right over there by Twin Lakes. And what are your hours of operation?
We're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.
Okay. What's a good contact if somebody wants information?
If anyone wants information or to talk to a nurse or to schedule an appointment, they can call us at 465-3353.
Okay. Can you tell us again of some of the diseases that are going around this season, and maybe tell us a little bit about why you think they're being so prolific this year?
Yeah, so we're still seeing some flu this season. It was pretty big this winter, and it's continuing now. And then, especially recently, we've gotten reports of strep throat and mono, as well as some GI illnesses causing vomiting and diarrhea in the schools and in the community. And we always see these kind of come up when there's a lack of good hand washing. So we always encourage good hand washing for everyone in the community.
And would you say, are they weather affected? Because we've had a pretty mild winter.
Not so much weather affected, but definitely as we start to see tourism increase, there's the worry that we'll get more diseases in. So having people stay home when you're sick or wash your hands before eating and after using the restroom will help keep the incidence down.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the individual diseases and their symptoms?
Sure. So with strep throat, you can get a sore throat. You can feel really achy, get headaches. And in that case, if you're not feeling well, stay home, go see your doctor and get checked out. Mono in children is actually more like a cold. It's not as severe as in adults, but definitely if you have someone with aches and pains that aren't getting better or any sort of fever or sore throat, then that's when you want to go to your doctor and get checked out.
And thinking of those two, strep throat or mono, how are those usually treated, with antibiotics or?
It depends on your doctor. Sometimes strep throat is treated with antibiotics. With mono, it's more supportive therapy. And so making sure you're drinking a lot of fluids and staying hydrated, and then not spreading it to others. So don't share any eating utensils or cups or anything like that.
Okay. And what was the next one on the list?
The GI illnesses. So those cause vomiting and diarrhea, and they're usually transmitted through someone who's sick and handles food after, again, not hand washing very well and then infecting other people that way.
Okay. And can somebody come to the Juneau Public Health Center to be treated for these or diagnosed?
They can come in, definitely, if they have any questions. If it's a severe illness, we will probably refer them to their primary doctor or send them over to urgent care to get treatment if it is something that needs to be seen by a physician.
Okay. It sounds like the common denominator here, though, is simply washing one's hands.
Definitely. And so we always want to encourage people to wash your hands often before preparing food, before and after eating, after using the restroom, and definitely not sharing any eating utensils as well is a great way to prevent the spread of these illnesses.
Somebody once told me that thoroughly or properly wash your hands, you should say the alphabet. As you do it, which means that you give it enough time. Have you ever advised something like that?
Yeah, we do. We do talk about that. It's definitely washing in warm water with plenty of soap, and we tell kids to say the alphabet or sing their favorite song or sing happy birthday to themselves three times. Just make sure you're washing for at least 30 seconds with a lot of soap and vigorous scrubbing under warm water.
And how about these new hand sanitizers that everyone's into? Mm-hmm. Are those effective?
Yeah, so Purell or any other hand sanitizer are very effective. And one thing we tell kids when to choose between washing your hands or using Purell is if your hands are visibly dirty or if you've been handling food, then you want to wash your hands with soap and water. But the rest of the time, Purell is an excellent choice.
Okay. Can you give us the contact info in case somebody has questions about this again?
Sure, yeah. So if anyone has any questions or they feel like they might be sick or know someone who's sick, you can always call Juneau Public Health Center at 465-3353.
All right. Christina Schulte, thank you for coming in today and helping us stay healthy. Anything else you'd like to add?
One last thing before we go is that Juneau Public Health Center is going to be waiving our administration fee for all immunizations coming up in April, the 11th. Of April through May 2nd. And so if anyone thinks they might not be up to date on immunizations, then give us a call and we can schedule an appointment to get you in.
Wow. With no fee?
No fee. Yep. It'll be completely free in honor of National Infant Immunization Week.
Great. Christina Schulte of the Juneau Public Health Center, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Circle's got no start, circle's got no end. Sing the medicine song one more time again. A spotted feather, a song to greet the dawn. A little drop of mercy and the spirit child's gone. Sing the medicine song one more time again. Sing the medicine song one more time again. Father sky, sweet red earth, kiss the place now of your birth. Sing the medicine song one more time again. You can feel it tearing through your soul, just like the wind. Sing the medicine song one more time again. And as a child you enter in, watch the circles start to spin. A thousand things you don't understand, like the wind sifting through shifting sands. Sing the medicine song one more time again. Sing the medicine song one more time again. You can hear it tearing through your soul, just like the wind. Sing the medicine song one more time again. Once inside the circle, everything's left behind. You can see clear from here all the way to the other side. Like the sound of water falling, roaring in your ear. Holy, holy, holy is all that you can hear. Sing the medicine song one more time again. Sing the medicine song one more time again. You can feel it tearing through your soul, just like the wind.
sing the medicine song one more time again. A circle's got no start, a circle's got no end. Sing the medicine song one more time again. Sing the medicine song one more time again.
This is Jim Strader. On behalf of Bartlett Regional Hospital, I'd like to invite you to attend the Juneau Community Health Fair on March 28th. It's a great way for you to get important health information from local health and safety providers and to take advantage of free basic screenings. You can also get high-quality, low-cost blood tests. The health fair is a good place to develop healthy goals and make proactive changes in your daily life. Saturday, March 28th, 9 till noon at Nugget Mall. The Juneau Community Health Fair, sponsored by Bartlett Regional Hospital.
And you're listening to a special spring membership drive edition of A Juneau Afternoon here on Monday, March 23rd, 2015. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 16 minutes past the top of the hour. And if you are a fan of Juneau Afternoon or have ever been on it or like learning about stuff that goes on in the community and want to support this and you're not a member yet, please give us a call at 586-3636 or go to ktoo.org. We have Kristen Cox over there. She's answering the phones from the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. And now with me in the studio is Stu Robards. He's part of the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and he's going to be telling us about some upcoming boating safety classes. Welcome, Stu.
Hello.
Yeah.
Now as the weather gets better and the blue tarps start to disappear from the boats around here, some people may have acquired a new boat and are interested or a possibility of thinking about a boat. We're going to be conducting a class in starting first session will be the 30th of this month, March, and our final time together will be the 13th of May. We'll be doing Mondays and Wednesdays from 6:30 to about 8:30-ish, and we'll be handling a host of topics from the basics all the way up through navigation, radio operations, aids to navigation, all of those things that you need to know to be successful.
Sounds good. And tell us a little bit about the Coast Guard Auxiliary.
Coast Guard Auxiliary are volunteers. We go through background checks and we do represent the Coast Guard oftentimes. We wear the same uniforms when we're in the public eye, and we can do most everything to supplement the effectiveness of the Coast Guard except military operations and law enforcement.
Okay, and how long have you been a part of it?
Going on 5 years. I'm one of the newer guys in the particular flotilla, which is our local club, if you will. And there's been some that have been quite a while longer than I. It's a great group. Anybody can join. It's $39 a year is our dues. And you can learn and love and become instructor, become a vessel safety examiner. There are just lots of fun things to do and be out in the public.
And I think you were telling me before the interview, you were drawn to the auxiliary through a class just like this. Is that
indeed
right?
I was. The very same class that we're here to promote, boating skills and seamanship.
And, okay, so this is going to be Mondays and Wednesdays down at the Yacht Club from 6:30 to 8:45, coming up here on March 30th, so a week from week from today, I guess.
Correct.
Would be your first
Correct.
Class.
Mondays and Wednesdays for 7 weeks, yeah.
And $60 for a single or $90 for a couple?
Correct. Those are the two fees that we choose. With a couple, the understanding is that they'll be sharing a textbook.
Okay. And, again, you touched on this a little bit when we started, but who would this class be very useful for?
Anybody who's had a boat for a while, anyone who's interested in a boat, one of the interesting points about boats in Alaska is we have no license, we require no safety courses, anything of the sort. Alaska is very free in that regard. However, we have a very high drowning statistic and accident rate, and we're trying to, in a small way, to help people to do things, make good decisions, and be informed and skilled navigators, boat operators, so it lightens the load and the burden on the Coast Guard to have to respond quite so often to emergency conditions.
I see, and you were telling me that you spend quite a bit of time on the water yourself. Can you give us an example of some time when you've been out and been able to use one of the skills that you learned in this class?
We train. We have an operations program, surface as well as air. We don't have an air program here in Juneau, but we have what we call surface operations, which are boats on the water. And we're out there training as boat crewmen and coxswains to operate. And if we're trained to a standard and qualified, we can actually go out and supplement and in some cases do things in patrols. Not law enforcement per se, but to be out there on a safety patrol and be available and be dispatched by the Coast Guard.
It seems like you enjoy your work with the auxiliary.
I do. It's great fun. Anything on boats is great fun.
Well, I bet this class will be too. Again, Mondays and Wednesdays starting next Monday, 6:30 to 8:45 at the Yacht Club. Stu, is there anything else that you want to add?
Soon, in the ensuing weeks, we'll also be getting the word out with our vessel safety check program. We'll have vessel examiners. We'll be at Amalga Harbor and also Western Auto doing vessel safety checks. And we do make house calls for those people who still have their boats on trailers or on blocks.
Oh, really? Wow.
So, time on the water is precious sometimes around here, so we don't want to be just to hold you up.
If somebody wanted more information, where should they go?
CGAUX.org, which is our national site. And if you're looking for a boating course, you just put in your zip code and it'll list the nearest course. If you want a vessel safety check, look at the menu items on that webpage, and it'll bring you right into it. It'll describe what we're looking for. Very helpful site.
And I know there is a detailed list of things that a boat should have, but can you give us a couple of the main safety items that should be on a boat?
Of course, personal flotation devices, and there are five types in various situations where each is appropriate. Pyrotechnic signal devices. We're looking for fire extinguishers, and, of course, we're looking for boats that are clean and serviceable and safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Stu Robards, thank you for coming in today. The class starts a week from today, March 30th, at the Juneau Yacht Club, 6:30 to 8:45. It's on Mondays and Wednesdays. Give us that website once more.
CGAUX.org. My email is srobards. We'll have posters up all around the town, srobards@gci.net. My home phone is 789-7097. Give me a call if you'd like to have some more information or miss some of these details, and we can repeat them again for you.
Great. Stu Robards, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
I took all my hopes and set them out afloat in a vessel fragile and much too small to ever weather such a squall. But I was very young, journey just begun. The night the boat capsized and the world came to an end. When sailing on high seas, bailing water to my knees, I'm the one with hope held out, searching sky without a doubt for that hint of light, looking for that stride of land. Like the night the boat capsized and the world came to an end. and slowly shaking off the dread. Those first careful steps were only meant to be a test, but finding solid ground, I found I quickly learned to dance. I barely can remember now, so many years have passed since the night the boat capsized and the world came to an end.
The Juno Symphony invites you to join our final conductor candidate, Jeremy Briggs Roberts, for a sonic portrait of works by Russian composers, including Tchaikovsky's monumental Fourth Symphony and Prokofiev's virtuosic Piano Concerto No. 3, March 28th and 29th at JDHS. Tickets available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and at the door. Sponsored by Alaska Airlines, Hecla Greens Creek Mining Company, and KRNN Public Radio. For more information, visit junosymphony.org. We'll see you at the symphony.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, March 23rd, 2015. It's about 28 minutes after the hour. Then this is the spring membership drive version of a Juno Afternoon. And if you like a Juno Afternoon and want to support public media in Juno, public radio, please give us a call at 586-3636 or go to ktoo.org. It doesn't take much time. If you're already a member, thank you so much. We could not do this without you. But if you're yet to become a member, this show, everything we do here, needs your financial support. So, again, please call 586-3636 or go to ktoo.org. Kristen Cox is in the phone room right over here waiting for your phone call. She's part of the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. Thank you so much, Kristen, for spending time on this beautiful sunny afternoon to help support public media. And we just heard a PSA for the symphony. We will indeed be broadcasting the symphony on KRNN, our sister station here, on Sunday. So please tune in for that. And I have a bit of extra time on the show today, so I am going to play a Mudrooms for you. But actually, before I do that, why don't we listen to Writer's Almanac. We do this every day as a part of a Juno Afternoon. Writer's Almanac is a service that we have to subscribe to. We have to pay for it to, in turn, pay Garrison Keillor and his producers for producing this great show. If you're a fan of Writer's Almanac and want to support it and keep it coming to you every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday here on a Juno Afternoon, again, please give us a call at 586-3636 or go to ktoo.org.
Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 23rd of March, 2015. It was on this day in 1913 the novelist Jack London wrote off to six writers, including H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw, asking how much they got paid for their writing. London always said that his chief motive for writing was money, and he told his colleagues, "I've published 33 books, and yet I have never heard the rates that other writers receive." It was on this day, 1775, Patrick Henry gave his famous speech, in which he probably delivered the line, "Give me liberty or give me death." The speech was given at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, at the Second Virginia Convention. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson were there. The thing about Patrick Henry speaking, according to Thomas Jefferson, was that it was extremely eloquent and very moving, but nobody could remember afterward exactly what he had said. It's the birthday of the French author Roger Martin Dugard, born in Neuilly-sur-Seine, France, in 1881. His life work was a series of novels known as Les Thibauls, considered a roman fleuve, a French term that means literally a river novel, a series of novels written by one author about the same few characters, often one family, a saga. And his roman fleuve followed the Thibault family in the years around World War I. It's the birthday of Fanny Farmer, Boston, 1857, known for publishing the first cookbook in America that came with simple, precise cooking instructions, as well as instructions on how to set a table, scald milk, make butter, remove stains, and clean a copper boiler. And it's the birthday of the writer Josef Čupek, born in Hronov in what is now the Czech Republic in 1887. Josef Čupek is known as the man who gave us the word robot for a play in 1921 about mass-produced human substitutes employed as cheap labor. Here's a poem for today by Nicholas Christopher entitled Through the Window of the All-Night Restaurant. Across from the gas station, a bus stopped every 10 minutes under the blue streetlight and discharged a single passenger, never more than one. A one-armed man with a cane, a girl in red leather, a security guard carrying his lunchbox. They stepped into the light, looked left, then right, and disappeared. Otherwise, the street was empty, the wind off the river, gusting paper and leaves. Then the payphone near the bus stop started ringing. For 5 minutes it rang, until another bus pulled in, and a couple stepped off, their hats pulled down low. The man walked up the street, but the woman hesitated, then answered the phone, and stood frozen with the receiver to her ear. The man came back for her, but she waved him away, and at the same moment her hat blew off and skidded down the street. The man followed it, holding his own hat, and the woman began talking into the phone, and she kept talking, the wind tossing her hair wildly, and the man never returned, and no more buses came after that. Through the Window of the All-Night Restaurant, a poem by Nicholas Christopher, from In the Year of the Comet, published by Penguin and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years, and by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
From the bowhead whales harvested in Barrow to the fire-resistant cushions in our living rooms, industrial chemicals linked to cancer and developmental problems have found their way to Alaska. Join the discussion about how toxics are tainting the subsistence food web, our homes, and our bodies on the next forum at 360. That's at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday at 360 Egan Drive.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, March 3rd, 2015. It's the special spring membership drive edition of Monday Juno Afternoon. If you want to support public media in Juno and support public, support Juno Afternoon, if you've ever been on the show or benefited from some information that you've heard on the show, give us a call at 586-3636 or go to ktoo.org. We would be so thankful if you did that. If you're already a member, thank you so much. But if you're not a member, we're talking to you. We need your support, so give us a call. I do have a little extra time on the show today, so I want to share with you a mudrooms story, as I often do. And I was thinking what would be an apropos story to share. And so I looked on the mudrooms.org website, which is a great resource and a great partner of ours, I like to think, that we get to broadcast the great work and stories that they record. And thank you to the community members who make those stories possible. And so I went back and I looked at December 2012, and they have a show called Gifts. And I thought that that was appropriate for the membership drive. And then I looked and I found this one right here by my bud Mark Ridgway. So here's a story by Mark Ridgway. I hope you enjoy it.
Next up, we have Mark Ridgway. He grew up in Ketchikan in Anchorage, and he's lived in Juneau long enough to know he'd eventually get suckered into doing something like this. He works for the U.S. Coast Guard, has an enormous fear of public speaking, is married to the most beautiful woman in the world. Sounds like he's trying to earn points. And he recently sold the Gold Town Nickelodeon Theater to Donald Trump for $7. Mark, did I miss the million in there? Mark Ridgway.
Alrighty. Well, gifts. Of course, they do take all sorts of kinds. Plastic totem poles from China. I was going to tell a story about an enormous moose rack that some alleyoots gave me, but it's pretty gruesome, the story, so I decided to pass on that. This is my Canadian story. So I was in my 20s. I was like 20 years old, and I was stuck down in Washington State, super broke, didn't have any money. And I was thinking, like, okay, well, I got to get home. I got a commercial fishing job, and I was all set to hitchhike back up the Alcan. And my sister called me up out of the blue, and all of a sudden she says, hey, I've got an Audi, turns out, and I need somebody to drive it up the Alcan. And so I say, yeah, absolutely. She even offered to pay for gas, which is awesome. And I almost didn't hear her when she said, I also have a sailboat. So she just bought this, like, gorgeous, my sister's a really good sailor, and she bought this 16-foot sailboat, just gorgeous sailboat. And it was on a little trailer, and I went and checked it out, and I go, okay, yeah, well, we can do this. Audi's got plenty of power. So I go around Olympia, Washington, and find a welder who can put a tow hitch on it. Of course, Audis don't come with tow hitches, standard package. And the guy looks at it, he goes, okay, well, yeah, I can do that. And, you know, he did it. And he didn't charge me much, which is good, I thought, at the time. It looked like a good hitch. So off I go. And it was great. It was spring. There weren't a lot of cars, and it was beautiful weather. And I didn't get hassled at the border, first time for everything. And I wasn't even really in a hurry, which you normally are when you're driving the Alcan. So I actually stopped, and of course, what do I find? A bunch of polite Canadians everywhere you look. It's about 2 days into the trip, and I'm pulling into, I'm in northern BC, and I'm pulling into, it's a four-lane highway, it turns into a four-lane highway, and I'm pulling into, I think the town's Prince Rupert. It's a big corner, big banked corner. And I look back, and there's a boat. And I checked the boat, of course, 100 times in the last 2 days. This time, though, the boat was like about 100 feet behind me. It's totally, totally separated from the car. And I'm looking back in kind of horror and amazement, really. And there's sparks flying off, and the tongue was, and it was amazing. It was like somebody was driving the boat. It was like perfectly going. But it was getting pulled towards the outside of the corner, which was a high bank. So eventually I'm looking and it just disappears. So I pull over. I pull over and I'm, of course I'm thinking, well, yeah, even the Canadians can probably trace a license plate. So I back up. I'm backing up on the shoulder of the highway. And actually this other car was pulling up then. There's this young couple in it, and they had actually been going the other way. And as I got out of the car, this young guy runs up to me and goes, oh man, did you see that thing? It just flew off. It just flew off. And I'm going, yeah, it did. So I go up to the bank, right, and it says, hi, bank. And of course, what am I going to find? I'm going to find shards of fiberglass and twisted metal and maybe a little sail flapping in the breeze. I peer over, and way down there is this just little muskeg with the print of a boat in it. And we've got the trailer outline, and then like 15 feet beyond that, kind of sitting on a bush, there's the boat, and it doesn't have a scratch on it. And I'm like going, oh, this is great. And then I realize, like, how the heck am I going to get it up there? I'm thinking, like, okay, well, I could take the plate off. And I don't even notice this big, huge Royal Canadian Mounted Police guy had pulled up and is standing right beside me. Huge guy. And he just is really quiet. He's just looking down. And he goes, huh. And the young guy's there. It just flew off. It just flew off. And the RCMP guy just goes, well, all right then. And he turns around. He walks over the highway. And he, like, starts pointing at cars. And he's like it's the most natural thing in the world. Of course, that's what you're going to do. And so before you know it, there's like, he pulls over a semi and there's his pickup truck and like now there's eight guys standing up on the top of this road. And then he goes, all right, boys. And it was just the weirdest thing. So we all, you know, he kind of just herds us down there and we all go down this steep gravel thing. And like 45 minutes of work, you know, everybody's grunting and lifting at once. And like every 5 minutes, you know, we stop and rest. And every time we rest, I get to hear the young guy tell somebody else, hey, man, I saw it. He just flew right off. And so anyway, but we get it all the way back up to the road in like 45 minutes an hour. And he can't tell anything except these big globs of muskeg stuff still stuck to it. And that was it. People just kind of went back to their car, and I thanked them profusely, like, hey, thank you very much. And of course, the last guy to leave was a trooper who, like, you might want to get that hitch looked at. I said, okay, yeah, you know, so I ended up going into town and finding a hardware store and having somebody look at the hitch, and it turns out it was a lock washer, 15 cents, 12 cents Canadian. That's all I needed, that and a new bolt. So I get in the car and I make it, you know, unscathed all the way back up. My sister still got the sailboat. But that's about my favorite kind of gift. It's the kind of gift that it's a stranger shows up and just helps you out. And they don't expect anything in return. And they don't think they're going to get recognized for it. Of course, there was the huge RCMP guy kind of everything, but they could have turned around and left. And I really do think that, that's one of the special types of gift in life. And I can say that in the last 25 years or so since then, I've never passed a person on the highway who looks like they might need help or had a boat fly off the trailer on them. And they do say that that life is all about finding your gift and finding a way to share it. And that's certainly an easy way to help a stranger out. So anyway, that's it. My Canadian gift. Happy holidays.
A fun story from Mark Ridgway there during the December 2012 gifts edition of Mud Rooms. So if you would like to make a gift like that to KTOO, we'd be most thankful. Please give a call at 586-3636 or go to ktoo.org.
This is Bird Note. Have you ever watched a baby bird peck its way out of its shell? The determination to break through is astounding. Now imagine two famous composers writing and orchestrating a piece that reflects that desire to be born. Inspired by a talented friend's painting called Ballet of the Unhatched Chicks, Russian composer Modest Mussorgsky wrote a piano piece as part of his famous work, Pictures at an Exhibition. The composition was later orchestrated by Maurice Ravel. Listen as instrumental colors from the orchestra enhance the pecking rhythms, the scurrying tempos, high-pitched peeping sounds, and the baby bird's eventual freedom. Isn't it amazing how music can so beautifully interpret this emergence of life? You can watch baby birds hatching on our website, birdnote.org.
And you're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, March 23rd, 2015. It's the special spring membership edition of a Juno Afternoon. And I've been joined in the studio now by Mr. Ed Schoenfeld. Welcome, Ed.
Hi, Scott.
I think a lot of people out there are going to recognize your voice as a prolific news creator here in Southeast Alaska. It's nice to have you on the show.
You know, when I meet people and I start talking to them who don't know me or I don't know them, sometimes they'll go, oh, you're Ed Schoenfeld. And then sometimes they go, oh, you're Ed Schoenfeld. It's like they're expecting somebody younger and better looking and probably taller and more fit.
Oh, no way.
And I'm sure you run into the same thing.
It is interesting when somebody recognizes you by your voice outside of the studio.
So we live by what we think we look like on our voice. But we also live by the contributions, by the memberships that you, our listeners, phone in and go online and sometimes just drop by and contribute. 586-3636 is the number, of course, and if you're outside the immediate Juno area, 800-478-3636.
Or like you said, drop in and you can meet Ed Schoenfeld right now and make a membership contribution.
And be disappointed at the visuals.
Ed, tell us a little bit about your position with public media in Southeast Alaska.
Well, I'm called Regional News Director for Coast Alaska, and that's the parent organization, kind of the umbrella organization for public radio stations in Juneau, Sitka, Ketchikan, Petersburg, and Wrangell. And my job involves a whole lot of things like training and helping hire people and some administrative stuff and putting on conferences. But mostly I report on issues of interest to people around Southeast Alaska. I do a lot of stories on the ferry system and on Tongass issues and on the transboundary mines, the cross-border mines that people are worried about and some folks aren't worried about. Those sorts of issues, plus just picking up bits and pieces of local news here and there, helping out stations when they're short staff, or even going and doing vacation relief when there's nobody there to do the news. It's fun, and it's great to get a perspective of all the different things that public radio can be in Southeast Alaska. Every town, every station is a little different, and given the many years we've all been on the air, decades, it's something that each station has sort of morphed, adjusted into a part of that community. Now, you could listen to any of the stations here in Juneau, you'd listen to them online, and you would still recognize them as very much like public radio that you know here well. But they're all a little different. K2's a little different, and it's all good different. enthusiastic. We love our community. We want to let people know what's happening so they can make their decisions or be involved or just keep informed. And that's something that all of the stations, K2 especially, need your support, your memberships to keep things going. We know a lot of people now are already members, sustaining members, and we thank you very much. If you can contribute a little more, that's wonderful. 586-3636. If not, we appreciate what you do. Bug a friend. The town's full of people who listen, but they haven't joined.
Absolutely. So we're just coming off a Juno Afternoon, this great talk show where we find out about stuff going on in the community. I know before I worked here and before I'm now a host of Juno Afternoon, I tuned in every day. It was just how I figured out what was going on in the community. I felt if I missed it, I felt like I was missing out on something, you know. So I sure enjoyed helping out with this show. And now we're going into All Things Considered, and I would love your perspective, Ed. You know, putting these news stories together, you put news stories together, you've done it for several years. These stories aren't easy to put together. They take time and resources. Tell us a little bit about what it takes.
Well, it takes a lot of forethought when you have the opportunity. I mean, obviously, if something big happens right now, like 9/11 or somebody wins a big election, you know, you take the information you have, you try to be prepared if you can, and you do the best you can. But a lot of what you hear on All Things Considered and other NPR programs, as well as our local and statewide news, is you don't know what goes into it. It's sort of like the car comes off the lot, and it looks pretty, and it runs, and it has that new car smell, and it has all these electronic safety things to help you. But you don't know about the people who put that together and who designed it, and the factories and the shipping. People work very hard, and NPR has a fleet of editors at different levels that help people, not only staff people, but freelancers. I've done a couple pieces for All Things Considered. And it takes a lot of thought, a lot of talking to people. You might interview somebody for 2 hours and only use 10 seconds of it, because that's kind of all you need and what you need to move on. And anyway, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It takes staff. It takes equipment. It takes support just to keep the studios going. And that support, of course, comes from our members. Call us now, 800-478-3636, to folks who are outside of the immediate Juneau area, and people right here, 586-3636.
Absolutely. You know, I think of our listeners as constituents, or our members as constituents.
Absolutely.
And as part of this media system. And you know, we're going to go into, well, we're coming out of this local programming, Juneau Afternoon. We're going to go into national and world programming with All Things Considered. But then we're going to come back with a local news broadcast, probably by Lisa Fu, or I guess All Things Considered is usually Casey Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Casey today.
So mm-hmm. we'll get some local and state news. And I think I heard a story, a regional story from you this morning that he'll probably talk about. So that's news from all over Southeast Alaska, all over the state, all over the nation, all over the world, all in these next couple hours and all throughout the day. And all of that takes resources, we need you to be part of that resource-giving body. It's easy to do. It feels so good. Go to ktoo.org or go to 586-3636.
You know, Scott, you sit here and you bring in the guests and you ask them questions, and I know every person who hosts a live show has a few moments that will never leave them, good or bad. What's one of your favorites?
There was probably 3 weeks ago, the Reverend Bobby, I'm trying to think
Reverend
of his
name. Reverend Bobby, who did the gospel
yes,
show.
Yes, Reverend Bobby. He was in here, and Jeff Brown was hosting, I think, that day, or maybe Jamie Waste. And whenever we get musicians in here, I try and do video as well and post it on Facebook or something so people can
great.
See these musicians. And I said, you know, Reverend, can would you allow me to take video of this? And would you consider singing a live song, you know, just on the air? Just he's like, okay, sure. And we asked, you know, what are you going to do? And he's like, well, my favorite song to sing is Amazing Grace. And he gave this great story about the evolution of the song and everything else. And then he sang that. And it was one of those moments where everything sticks up on the back of your neck. You know, goosebumps. His ability and the range of his singing and the depth and the emotion that he evoked was absolutely magnificent. So that's a top one for me.
He's an incredible guy. I was lucky enough to be part of the community chorus, gospel chorus, a couple years ago. And I didn't think there was any way I could pull this off, or most of us there. And he made it happen. And you know, if you weren't part of that community of people who were practicing for that, you found out about it here on Juneau Afternoon, and people playing some of the music on KRNN, I think. And, you know, we keep you informed, whether it's big statewide or national or international issues, or a concert down the street that you sure want to know about because you don't want to hear about it later from people who went when you didn't. We do all that here at KTOO FM. Show your support. Go to our website, ktoo.org, or give us a call, 586-3636.
And we have a great group of folks in from the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. Kristen Cox and friends will tell you about all their friends' names here in a minute, but they would love to hear from you. And, you know, Ed, that's how they're giving to public media. And, you know, they've come in on this beautiful afternoon, and they are spending time physically here at the station. So we're so thankful for that contribution. But we know a lot of you are very busy, and you probably don't have the time to come down here and volunteer. So the way that you can support public media is financially. And by doing that, it allows us to keep the lights on for Juneau Juneau Afternoon. If the lights were not in here, I don't think we could talk any guests into sitting down. They might be scared, Ed. It helps us subscribe to All Things Considered, bring you that. It helps us, you know, pay Casey Kelly and have him go out and gather news for you to do our local version of All Things Considered. It helps us pay Ed here to go out and gather news from around the state, and it ensures that it's NPR-style objective news.
we work really, really hard to get as many voices as we can, and you know, rational voices. Just because somebody's out on a street corner screaming about something, you know, they might have a very good basis for it. I won't write off somebody just because they're on the street corner. But, you know, information you can use to make your own decisions. 586-3636 is the number to call to show your support for KTOO-FM in Juneau. And please let us hear from you.
Yep, or go to ktoo.org, become a one-time giver or a sustaining member. I'll tell you, that's the easiest thing. It comes out automatically out of your bank account, and you're supporting all the things that you like about public media. Let's take a look at headline news now.